Your icebox is bare. Eat the rich. Show your stomach you care. Eat the rich. Pull the rich ass of a flower. I think it's a shame. Swearing out the law and what we know who's to blame. And I'm tired of living in life. Best of the game. Eat the rich. Yum, yum, yeah, eat the rich. Yum, yum, yeah. Chemicals in your food. Eat the rich.
Yum, yum, yeah.
Now don't you think that that's rude? Gone, eat the rich.
Yum, yum, yeah.
Oh, the bitch has the power. I think it's a shame. Spreading out the love and what we know who's to blame. And I'm tired of living the life. Best of the day, eat the rich.
Yum,
yum, yeah, eat the rich.
Yum,
yum, yeah. You got the poverty blues. Eat the rich.
Yum, yeah.
You ain't got nothing to lose, so go on. Eat the rich. Rich has the power, I think it's a shame. To spend it out the power, but we know who's to blame. And I'm tired of living the life. Best of the game, eat the rich.
Yum,
yum, yeah, eat the rich.
Hi, this is KCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. Coming up, Subversity with Dan Zhang. Today we're going to be talking with the film director, and the opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the regents of the University of California, nor the management of KCI. With us on the phone is Hunt Ho. Hunt.
Yes.
Hi, great. Yeah, we've got it hooked up. Yeah, are you going to come for the festival?
Yeah, I think I'm going to make my pilgrimage. I was down there last year.
Last year, you had to wait a long time at the airport, I remember.
Right. Well, this time I'm going to come by myself, but then I'm going to go straight.
But it was worth it. You won the Best Director Award.
Yeah, I think it was worth it.
So Hunt is the film director, and last year he was here in Orange County showing his Seducing Maria.
That's right.
And that was about sex in Montreal among South Asian community, family values and all that. This time it's a different movie. Why did you get involved in this project?
Well, this is kind of an unusual project for me in the sense that it was a producer who saw my first film, Foreign Ghosts. In the film, there's this character called Albert Wu. And it's a very small role, but she came to see the film, and later on she called me up and said she was interested in that character.
And you played that character?
Yeah, yeah. It's a long story. Actually, I'm not an actor. I didn't want to play the role. It just said the actor was supposed to play the role decided to back out of it.
Oh my gosh.
2 or 3 days before, because it's not really challenging role. You know, it's a stereotype Asian man.
Who had a camera?
So I look around. You know, that's the only one left is me. You know, so I just I went up to. Playing the role myself, and little did I know this sort of turned into another sort of saga by itself.
So you wrote this screenplay, right? You co-wrote it?
For the documentary.
For the documentary.
Yeah.
Who was Albert Wu?
That's right.
And in it, I just watched it, and it seems like it's more about yourself than about other people, too. I mean, it's about looking a quest, I guess.
Yeah, well, you see, in documentary, well, this is actually my first social documentary. I've done one or two documentaries before, but they are more like musically oriented. But this one is the first time I'm sort of exploring. Like, it started out as more like a talking head kind of documentaries, and it's kind of the producer basically say, well, do something with it. And it was really loose in that sense.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of ideas what it should be and stuff like that. And then at the end, it's an interesting journey. At the end, I sat down and I look at all the materials that I have, and then we have to come up with something that sort of cohesive narrative. Right.
Yeah.
And that actually took a long time because here you go, because I wasn't that experienced in this area. So and then it turned out to be at the end it turned out to be my story almost.
Yeah.
Because basically I just had a whole bunch of questions that I was interested in, and I went to all these people.
Yeah.
Then I realized that at the end that those are the questions that actually trouble me, or the question that I want to answer myself.
Huh. How do you pick the people in your documentary?
Well, I started off with stereotypes, so obviously, actually the funniest thing is like I basically start off one of the first drafts, this is before we start shooting, I was, we know there's a problem with stereotypes, and Albert Woods basically a stereotype character in the film, in that...
Seducing Mary.
Yeah. No, in...
On this one.
Yeah, in feature, in Foreign Ghosts.
Oh, Foreign Ghosts, sorry, Foreign Ghosts, right.
So I started off with that. Then I was trying to look at the stereotype image projected in films of Asian man. So, but that was problematic because of rights and all that. We couldn't get a lot of the clearance from, like, Joy Luck Club is one of the films that was one of the films that we were interested in getting. Trying to sort of dissect the film and see how they portray Asian man. Well, in that film, it's actually Chinese man. But we were having a lot of problems, not just that film, a lot of other films. So it turned into something else, and then it was, and then this other thing that happened that basically triggered the project forward was Jackie Chan. You know, the National Film Board is a sort of a the only studio in Canada. So you have to go through a lot of sort of committee hearings and sort of go through you have to discuss with all the producers before you can get your projects going. And we were hitting kind of a snack. At that one point about 2 years ago, I didn't think it would get the green light to go ahead. But at the same time, my producer and I, we were just joking about stereotypes and say, well, no, Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan. And obviously, we couldn't get over Bruce.
He's sitting at, I visited his cemetery, actually.
Right?
In Seattle. Yeah,
oh,
it's amazing.
Oh, right, yeah.
Amazing tombstone there, yeah.
Yeah. So we decided, it's almost like, I don't know, it's almost like a joke. We decided to contact Jackie Chan. and somehow we got no, obviously, from the office, from his office in Hong Kong. And then we started talking to them. We started like emailing each other, or I think faxing each other.
At first they said no.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I think it's a standard thing. He gets
too many offers.
Yeah.
Requests. Yeah.
So I think the angle from there on, my producer was saying, well, we're the National Film Board, and we really represent this kind of social science. Like, you know, we produce a lot of social documentaries.
Yeah.
And it's not so much a commercial, like oriented kind of documentary, and it's not about him, but it would be about, like, you know, in the society, you know, his image and all that. So his manager sort of got interested in it.
Huh.
So and then he okayed us and gave us like half an hour, and then it sort of extended to an hour, like 3 hours, and it turned into 3 days. And it was during that period that the project was almost rejected by the committees of producers at the film board, that Jackie Chan said yes. So in a way, it's kind of, we had a sort of...
It saved the film, maybe.
Yeah, it's sort of a dilemma. So like, what do we do? Like, you know, we've come a little, well, we spent a couple of months and we are about to drop the project because they would spend couple of months to develop a project, and maybe it doesn't look like it's going to go ahead, they would just stop right there.
Oh, I see.
So we were almost at that point, you know. So the question is like, okay, what do we do now? We got Jackie Chan waiting, getting ready for us, and we're about to scrap the project. So they sort of decided to do a special assignment. They say, well, since we've come all this way and we don't know what's going to happened to the project, we'll just send you over with a with a crew, and just interview him. And you'll come back and you see we'll see. Then we'll figure out what to do and things like that. So that's what happened. So we went over.
What year was this?
It was 1998.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So actually, Jackie Chan was before the film. Before there was a film. We recorded him and then we came back and then I got busy with Seducing Maria. That's when I started. That's almost like the end of 98. So that took me into 99, and then in 99 started the project was approved, and then right after Seducing Maria, and I started shooting Jose Albert Wu.
You know, in the film, Jackie Chan is very open. You know, how did you get him to open up?
Not easy. First of all, like, he's a very nice guy. He's like he's not very educated, and he's also he didn't even know what why like. We were dealing with his manager, who's, by the way, from Malaysia.
Oh.
Very nice guy. And so he thought that it would be interesting to have, because Jackie at that time was getting very big in North America. So he thought that it would be very interesting to have, to expose him in different ways, which I think is doing his job right now. The film is on release in Canada. There's sort of a lot of people start talking about Jackie as, you know, an Asian man, not so much as this guy, you know, jumping around the screen and, you know, kicking people and things like that. So that was, I think, more his manager's idea. Now, the thing is that, like, Jackie, he's so easy with interviews and all that. He didn't even know why we were there when we arrived. he thought we were just doing one of the standard interview, like history of his life or his film history or his about his films.
Yeah.
So he just started talking, and for about an hour, and he was very good. Like what he was saying, like this is what you hear all the time at when he goes on to. SS Hollywood and Entertainment Tonight, you know, the all the one-liners and all that. It's a very catchy way of describing his films and his accident, like his all the injuries that he had and all that. So it was very difficult to stop him from talking about it. Yeah. You know? So I think after an hour he got a bit tired, so I was steering him away from that. And so I think what you see there in the film is really the third hour that he start really loosening up and start talking about anything that popped up. Yeah.
So did you ask him specifically about his parents? Or?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I kept asking him about, like, you know, if this he has this social responsibility. As such a big, you know, icon, and he couldn't. He didn't. Maybe he knew what I was asking me, but he sort of. Skated around it. He never answered that question.
Because he didn't, like, you were trying to see if he had any responsibility to his community or something.
Yeah, because, yeah. Like, you know, I was just explaining about the concept of this stereotype that I see. You know,
yeah.
We have all these famous Asian men represented by you, and your group, like, you know, Bruce Lee and you know. And then Jet Li and all these people. And then as a result, like, we, the everyday Asian man walking around, we have been subjected to that, you know, people look at me. I remember that I went to a festival in Bermuda, and I check in the hotel. The first thing they look at me, they call me Jackie, you know. So it's that kind of burden that's laid on the everyday Asian man, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, for once, I'm never a fan of this martial arts and all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I basically asked him, like, how do you, you know, how can you explain that? But he never, I don't think he ever answered me that question. Yeah. So, and then we start talking about man and woman and all that, you know, so
And
he started talking about himself and his journey. Like, he went to Australia, he actually was thinking of living there with his parents, and then he came back to Hong Kong, and
this is when he was really young, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Well, he was basically a stunt man, so he wasn't getting anywhere, and then he actually went to see Australia to see whether he can just, you know, live there and study or whatever. So, and then he decided he couldn't hack it and went back to Hong Kong and he became big, you know, I think in the 70s.
Was he a teenager when he went?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And
so he you know, you recount, or he recounts a conversation with his father.
Right.
In which he says that the father tells him you can't be fighting all your life.
Right.
You have to have a skill, I guess,
yeah.
In a sense. Yeah.
Well, that was so nice. Like a lot of people thought that was very touching coming from him.
Yeah.
At just the way he described it, I mean, like it's because like his English is not that great, but then he's so animated the way he talks. You just can't cut him out, you know, and mm-hmm. make him speak faster. So at the end, we just left the whole passage, the whole interview. At the end, the whole description of his father. And did you find it long?
No, I think you interspersed interviews with him and other people, right?
Yeah.
So it was like, it wasn't long at all, no. Did you, has he seen it?
No. Well, you think he would like it?
But I don't know. I mean, you say you don't like these kind of symbols, you know, of martial arts, so
yeah.
He's not your hero, so.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm sure he doesn't hear that much, I guess, maybe. Not.
Yeah, that's right. Well, actually, he thought I was a fan. So actually, he actually spent a lot of time, really nice, and he showed me all his films, like his, the cans, all the, like, you know, Drunken Master and all that, and his editing room. Like, he was just, like, very kind. He thought, like, you know, you're a big fan. You've watched my films all these years, and I just want to show you where I put them.
This is Golden Bear or Golden what? Studio?
Yeah, Golden Harvest. We went.
Golden Harvest, yeah. So did he put you up or what? Or you stayed, you didn't stay in his complex there?
No. Well, it's the National Film Board who's
deal. Right.
But we did follow him.
That ceremony where he got some award from the guy who runs Hong Kong now.
Right, that's all taken care of by his office. You know, so he set us up, and we had the pass to go anywhere and shoot anything we wanted. And so
there was no hassle. I mean, you got access to everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually it's amazing how easy it was after the initial no.
Yeah. Yeah. But did you see other actors on the set?
Studio set? Actually, I don't think in Hong Kong they're shooting that much anymore. I think a lot of the movies. So,
oh, yeah.
They're shot in China because, you know, the...
Cheaper
and also, you know, it's so beautiful up there. You know, like, I mean, in terms of, you know, set.
Yeah.
It's the real thing.
The countryside and all that. Yeah.
So, and then Hong Kong, I think they still shoot a lot of TV series, which is, I think they're all in studios.
Staged, yeah. I mean, in indoors. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. So, is he married or what?
Jackie Chan?
Yeah.
Yes, actually, I think he was, he mentioned that he talked about his son.
Oh, yeah.
So he, I was a bit, I was worried that he might not want to talk about it. And then he just say, well, listen, if I don't want to say it, you know, I'll just stop.
Yeah.
So he was quite open, actually.
Did you speak Chinese to him at all?
A bit, like when I, at first when I was, when he popped up, like it was funny, we were setting up our interview and all that. He wasn't there, so his manager took care of us. And then when he popped up and he say, "Okay, you guys are from Canada, so what do you want?" And then I asked him, like, if you want to speak Chinese or Mandarin or you know. Then he say, "Oh, Canada, English." Like he just say, "Well, go." So he knows what he's doing. You know, he's very good. I mean, he's been around for a long time, and that's also why some people sort of stay up there. You know, I think he's got it. You know,
he knows
exactly what's happening, and you know.
Yeah. How did you pick the other people in the film? Were they mostly your friends?
It sort of actually it's funny. They're not really my friends. Well, some of them, one or two of them, they're more like acquaintances.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is that when I started off, I wanted to sort of deconstruct the stereotype image, because like we started out saying, well, the, you know, you have all these like martial arts people, and then you have the like from the South Asian side, you have all these sort of mystical guru and you know, mm-hmm. and all that thing. So I say, well, I want to find people that are not your stereotype Asian man. So then I start looking, and they all like, you know, they are the friends that I know, that are the people that I run into.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I started talking to them and getting permission, and in the process I wound up getting to know them. So like there's the Malaysian Chinese actor singer who's playing in Miss Saigon. I knew him for a while.
He lives in New York now.
Yeah, and yeah. I never asked him about his sexuality and all that. And it's really through the interview, the process of the filming, that he we became sort of closer in a sense.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's quite amazing. That's why in a sense that at the end of the film, I was saying, well, listen, you know, what am I looking for? You know, like if you're looking for role models, actually, you know, they're among us, you know, they're your friends, mm-hmm. your peers, you know, and it just, you know, if you get a chance to talk to them, if you get a chance to open up, you know.
This was, this guy was Lim, was his name?
Yeah. Ink Lee.
Lee, yeah. yeah.
Are you talking about the veteran, the Second World War?
No, it's okay. Oh, yeah, that's another person, but the actor, I mean, was Lee?
Yeah, Ming Lee.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, I think what struck me was that these were like normal people that you don't, you know, their pictures wouldn't be in some magazine or anything.
Right.
They're just, you know, your people next door, basically.
Right.
And I think that's important because a lot of times people think that you have to look like people in the magazines.
Right.
the yeah. pinups or whatever, yeah.
So, that was one of the problems, I think, in the film that we were pointing out that, especially in Asian men, that we're very self-sufficient, we don't talk, we sort of, we uphold this sort of silent type. So so a lot of times other people will just look at you and they don't know, they look at Asian men, they don't know what to think, other than, you know, falling back on the cliché.
About this breaking the silence, what do you think it's that a lot of Asians are taught to keep it silent?
Well, I think that's how I was brought up in a sense. What about yourself? Did you have that kind of experience when you were growing up? Hello?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Can you hold on? What's just say?
Hold on one sec. Can you call back at 6 o'clock?
Yeah, hi, sorry. The phone ringing and there's some other...
Are we still on the air?
Yeah.
So there's
okay,
a big pause there.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah.
yeah.
The phones were ringing. I thought it was for the call, to get on, but it wasn't.
Right.
So,
no, I thought you were just refusing to answer my question.
No, could you say it again? I'm sorry.
I was saying that was certainly my experience. And even to this day, I think my mother always, like when I go back and see her, and she always say, like, why do you want to talk so much? Because I always want to sort of, you know, as we're getting, as she's getting older, and so are we, and I always sort of want to sort of, you know, get more details about their lives and things like that. And
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And she always said, like, no, why talk about the past, you know, and stuff like that. And I don't know whether you have that kind of experience when you're growing up.
Yeah, they never talk about it. It was only when I went to funerals, when you know, I got a chance to talk to my mother, for instance. When my father died, then she opened up and talked about World War II, for instance.
Uh-huh.
But otherwise, they would never, I don't think I wouldn't find out anything. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and then when my aunt was 90, I went to a party, and she started talking about her life in America in the 1920s or whatever.
Right.
And so that was really interesting.
Yeah. See, I find it like in a lot of ways this is a very interesting sort of for me personally.
Yeah.
I learned so much during the almost an excuse to learn about yourself or in the process, because like I didn't even know that like in this case like Herb Lim, the Second World War veteran. I didn't even know like the Chinese were there fighting for Canada, for that matter.
He said 150? Canadians, Chinese were in the World War II.
Yeah, and the whole joke is that he was sent to India, and then to be he was supposed to go to Malaysia.
Oh wow!
Yeah, to do camouflage because like a Chinese could look like Japanese, so they were supposed to be spies or something like that.
And he was jumping on the planes and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, it's quite an amazing story, and the whole thing was very funny because like he was talking about Pune where he was trained. And I was shooting Seducing Mario, and my actor was living in Pune, so I was there.
Oh, yeah.
And then 2 months later, I met this guy who went there like 50 years ago or 40 years ago, 50 years ago, and fighting.
That's in India?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So a coincidence, kind of,
yeah.
And he is he associated with that museum there in Vancouver or?
Yeah. I think he represents the a veteran, Chinese veteran.
Good.
A couple of places, the Chinese Social Club, I think there's one, and then there's also the veteran. He's kind of an activist, in a sense.
Yeah, I think it was good that because he was an older person and gave some perspective.
Right.
Some historical kind of accounting.
And it's funny because in the editing, because I at first I didn't even think I wasn't planning to put myself in the film.
Oh.
And that was this reaction from me when he was talking about fighting for Canada, and I had this sort of I just exclaimed, you know, I said, wow, you know, that's new to me, and I thought that was kind of. I wasn't on camera and all that, but I didn't. I thought I should remove that.
Yeah.
But most of you heard that. They said, "Great! Like this is really you in there reacting. That you are finding out about a lot of things, you know, about Asians and all that." So, so that was left in there. And obviously, later on, as we progress, and I wound up being in the film myself. Yeah. So.
Yeah. We're talking with Han Ho, the director of Who Is Albert Wu? That's going to play in Orange County on Tuesday. April 3rd at 2 o'clock at in the Fashion Island theater there, as part of the Newport Beach Film Festival. So you're definitely going to come to this.
Yeah.
That's great.
I think I owe it to Newport. Yeah, I can still see the award here, the sandcastle that I received.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's. Is it glass or what?
It's actually sand, but then I think they have
sand?
Certain chemicals that. It's very special. It's a sand castle on 35mm film can.
I see.
It's very special, I think.
Yeah, that's amazing. Wow. Do you think that people who see the film will they be drawn? You think most people would be drawn to it because Jackie Chan's in it? I mean, you think. What's the audience, I guess, out there? Yeah.
Well, so far, we've gone to about five or six festivals with the film, and I've attended maybe three of them. And so far, I find that a lot of the audience are mainly white, non-Asian, for some reason. And afterwards...
Even in Canada? Or?
Well, Montreal, we had a screening here, and that was... That was actually a fundraiser for the Asian Heritage Festival.
Oh, yeah.
So we had a good mix. But in Vancouver, we had two sold-out screenings. And I can count the Asian in there.
Even in Vancouver?
Yeah. Somehow, I don't know. Either it's the publicity. It's not that there's no audience out there for the film. It was all sold out at the festival. And it's very well received and a lot of them wound up talking to me at the end. I realized either they married the nation or they're going out with the Asian or you know, they've been to Asia. So I have a feeling this film is more like for other people discovering about Asian. I suppose the Asians might not be that interested in this because I suppose, you know, you know yourself and there's no point in talking about yourself. That sort of... Keep it the silent type returns. You know.
Uh-huh,
but
uh-huh.
I'm not sure. What do you think at the at Newport? Do you think you can get some
Well, the location is generally it's not an ethnic enclave. So
right.
I mean, not a subgroup enclave. It's more majority culture.
It would be nice to get like some people from the university. I know that the university has majority.
The university is majority Asian. The only problem is Newport is always festival is always during the break.
Mm-hmm.
This week is exam, and next week the students disappear, and so. But by the time your film shows, actually school is back.
Uh-huh.
In session, so there is a good chance that people will hear about it. The only thing is it's an afternoon showing, right?
Right.
And it's at 2 o'clock, so it's hard to know if, but it's close. It's close to campus.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's only like a 5-minute, 10-minute drive down there. Yeah. How about the in terms of the other? Do you think were you afraid to be so open in your film, own film? I mean, you're pretty frank, actually.
Yeah, actually, that was it was sort of building to that point. We had like different drafts, like different version of the film during the editing stage. You know, at first I thought I would just have a voiceover, and then. Then it somehow it seemed because I had a lot of characters in there. There was no link. I mean, in terms of sort of linking all the issues and all the people together. Like, why are these people talking about these issues? And so it was sort of pointing towards me coming out and talking about them.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So I was kind of, I suppose I saw it coming. It wasn't really my choice at first to wind up to be in the film myself.
Did you put this woman friend that you liked
right.
in the film?
Yeah.
And she actually ended up marrying somebody else.
Right.
Did you want to marry her, or you don't believe in commitment? Was there some discussion there about commitment and love or something?
Well, I still haven't figured that one out yet.
What was the sentence in the film about commitment?
Yeah, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to die.
And you think commitment is like a death sentence?
I suppose there was a lot of stuff that wind up in there. I think that helped. That's the point when I realized that when the co-writer came in.
Oh, I see.
That's the time that I decided that, well, I better get someone to come in here, because if I were to involve myself in the story, I'd like to have an objective eyes to look at it.
So
he was quite strong in the sense that he was guiding me, and it was like, see, it was actually, he was pushing me most of the time, and I was saying no most of the time. He said, like, go all the way. I said, no, I don't want to say this, and because like we would have like a lot of almost like therapy session that we'd be discussing, you know, about myself and why I would wind up asking this question and things like that. You know? So he would try to, you know, find a link in all these things. And
I think it ties together pretty well, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, your narrative and your kind of reflections and,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually, in a sense, it's, I used to say that, like, a feature film, which I do, the independent feature films, is really about yourself, because you write it, you direct it, and it's really you created it. You know,
it's your
everything
perspective.
Is about you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I used to say documentaries is really about someone else, right?
Oh, yeah.
Except in this case, you know, I can't even say that.
Right, right.
So.
I mean, I think of Arthur Dong. You know, he does a lot of documentaries, but he sometimes puts himself. I mean, he does put himself in his films.
Right.
And it just depends on whether the topic lends itself to that, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, actually, it's funny because I went to some screenings, and there's actually one screening in particular that there was a lot of Asian women, and they're crying out for the one for the Asian woman.
Huh.
Except that I told them that I just said I won't be the one doing not the right sex.
Yeah. I mean, did you look at a lot of existing videos or documentaries on this topic?
Not so. I don't think there are that many documentaries on it. This is quite new, actually, like talking about stereotype images. As far as I know, I don't know whether have you seen any?
Yeah, there's more in the U.S. I think. I mean, there's a because especially about TV images, there's been some documentaries about that.
Right.
About stereotypes on TV, and also some about movies. Yeah. And I know there's been articles and even books on that.
Right.
In the U.S. Yeah.
I know that there was one documentary about this Chinese woman crossing the country and meeting all her father's friends. I can't remember the title of the film.
My America, was that it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't get a chance to really look at that many of them. I have obviously watched a lot of the films. One in particular is Tiffany, Breakfast at Tiffany.
Yeah,
Mickey Rooney playing a Japanese guy, and I thought that is so special, you know. And that was actually to Bruce Lee, wasn't it? That was in Bruce Lee's that was what really turned him off. That's when he saw when he was he was on out on the with his future wife, and then he saw Mickey Rooney playing a Japanese or an Asian man the way he did, and it was so turned off that he decided that, you know, he would change that, you know, and which in a way he did, you know, by changing it to another kind of stereotype, I suppose.
I was interested that you had a couple of gay characters and people in your documentary.
Right.
Did you didn't know he was gay, right? The actor.
The standard thing, right? In the world that we live in, there's always this gossip.
Oh yeah.
People were saying, oh, so and so is gay and all that, and since I'm in films and I'm in the sort of artistic media, so there's a lot of gossip and things like that, and I particularly don't. Really, I'm kind of insensitive to it because these are people that I work with, or what you do in your social life. If you don't want to let it all hang out or sort of be so obvious, it's fine. Like if you don't want to talk about it or show it. So I usually I don't try to sort of probe into this. But when I was doing this documentary, then I start thinking about it. Then I asked him. I say, would you want to talk about it? You know. And it's not that I want him to talk about it. I said, it's really up to you. So a lot of the times, a lot of the interviews, other than the Salmon, which is he calls himself a brown fag from Montreal, whatever.
Yeah.
He's really out there. He's really sort of an activist. He's very open.
He's Pakistani.
Yeah.
Pakistani Canadian.
Yeah. But Ming, he was very, he's really decent, and he's never talked about that part of his life. And I thought, since we want to reach a certain kind of intimacy in the discussion, and this is part of, the areas that I'm going at, love, sex, image, a man, what is a man, So, and I did ask him, I say, would you want to talk about it? I didn't ask him whether he was gay or anything.
Yeah.
And he just said, well, we'll see. He didn't even know how far he would go,
Yeah.
But he did, that was one condition that, if he disliked it, he would not approve it in the editing.
Did you have a set of questions in mind, or?
Well, I was hitting people with more or less the same kind of questions. And that's also leading to, at the end, when we have to go through the editing stage, that I start asking myself, why am I asking them this question? So they're really my interest. They're really the question that I want to get answered to. So in essence, that's really, that's why, I want to be in the film, because I'm the one asking the question. Because this is not really a scientific survey of what is an Asian man, or who is an Asian man, or how to identify an Asian man.
Right.
So it's really my take of it.
Yeah. I was interested to hear the guy you just mentioned, Salmon.
Right.
He actually talks to his father about his gay life.
Right.
Right, and they seemed very open with each other.
Right.
Yeah, and so that I think that was interesting to hear, because people have the stereotype that you can't come out, you know,
right,
to your parents.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I was really touched, because like, I knew that he was gay, and he's kind of an activist all along. And I knew that he would have no problem talking about it. So I wasn't surprised by the subject matter. But it's the way he talked about it. And I think we were so touched at the end. Like, the crew actually went up and gave him a big hug.
Huh.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So when he started talking about my mother, say, take it back. You know, when they came out, he said, oh, take it back. I said, like, well, Mom, how do I take it back? Like, you mean, if I take it back, there's nothing happened? Like, it's just the way he was talking about it, describing it. And I was really touched that, like, you know, this human. This is just human feelings. It's not, you know, it doesn't really matter, really, at the end, you know?
Yeah.
So,
did you, are you meeting more people because of the film? I mean, talking about your own relationships? Are you meeting, actually, I mean, is that, are people interested in you personally?
Well, this one
question.
Is just... This one just starting out, like seducing Maya. It's funny because, like, as you know, I've been on the road for almost a year and a half for seducing Maya. I've gone to the film's gone to about 25 festivals. I've been to about 15.
Wow!
So I do get a lot of people would talk to me. A lot of journalists, actually, a lot of female journalists would come up to me and be very friendly with me. And one or two that I kind of, we wind up hanging out and all that.
Yeah.
And sometimes I make a wrong move, or I make a move, and then they say, oh, I thought you were gay. They have that kind of,
really?
Again, sort of a...
stereotype.
Yeah, a stereotype image, because you make a film about, you touch on gay subject, then you must be gay. And in a way, I find it very special in the sense that, you know, I think I've crossed, I used to be like that, right? So I thought it's nice for me to be able to cross over and see through that, you know? I could see myself doing, saying things like that a few years ago.
You know? That you had that stereotype before.
Yeah, you look at people, you tend to sort of, you know, put them in a little box.
Yeah.
So I'm really touched, and then I have actually a lot of sort of friends that are not... I would say sort of associates or friends that are actually gay, and they, again, we work together, so, but then again, we're very discreet about it, so we never talk about it. And after they've seen my work at the last two films, they really come out and start talking to me, and they say, Hunt, you know, and really, like, they want to become very sort of become closer.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I think it's very discreet in Canada in particular. I don't know about the States. People really leave you alone, like, you know, if you don't want to flaunt it or whatever in front of everyone, you can be, you know,
more laid back. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's true. I've been to, you know, gay venues. I mean, in Canada, and everybody seems to be more polite, kind of soft-spoken, and at least they're not so aggressive as Americans. I mean, that's like a national stereotype, but I know. But.
There we go. Well, in the film, I would say, like, it's hard to really talk about stereotype without stereotyping other people.
I know, because, I mean, people talk about national characteristics, and
right.
I know that's those are stereotypes, but still, there must be something in some part of it, at least, yeah.
Yeah, but I think what is exciting about it is that with this project, and with Seducing Maya, too, I said, what is exciting for me is because, like, I go on the road, and I go to the festival, and there's a lot of exchange afterwards. And that's very special. And, like, people just almost, like, from not knowing you at all and becoming quite close to you because you touch on all these issues that are really, you know, you're not shy about it. You know, you have to, you know, talk about it straight. You know? So I've run into a situation that, you know, people, I remember in Bermuda, there was a guy just walk up to me and say he's bisexual, you know, and he was my, he took care of me like he was driving around. And it wasn't coming on to me. He just felt that, you know, he didn't have to hide that. Or he just wanted to say it, you know.
Yeah.
So in a way, I was really touched by all this because you go into, you know, all these strange places.
Yeah.
And people sort of welcome you as a human being and not as a tourist. So I thought that was very special.
So you felt comfortable. He felt comfortable with you.
Yeah. So I was touched by all this, actually. I thought, like Salman, I remember the interview, everyone was really touched by it, even though we knew what, more or less what, the subject matter, what he would be saying,
yeah,
just how he said it, and it was so touching. You know? And it's the nice thing about documentary is that when in rich moments like this, you know, it's real. You know?
Yeah, and you know you want it in the film. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also the variety of Asians you interview, because some, you know, I know in, you know, I mean, it, maybe it's because it's Montreal, huh? That every, I mean, and also Toronto, I know is a totally, I mean, there's a lot of people there from different countries,
right,
different Asian countries or
right,
backgrounds, and whereas in the U.S. sometimes it doesn't seem like that. It seems more, you know, one group is more, is larger or,
right,
or more predominant.
Well, I think it's just my decision. I actually had to fight that with my producer, because
oh, yeah,
I think they thought, like, well, why don't we just zero in on Orientals, you know, like just the Asia Pacific. So we go like Japanese, Chinese, and Vietnamese or whatever. Then I say, no, I'm from Malaysia, you know, so, and I grew up with Malays, which
right,
are Muslim,
right,
and Indians.
Yeah.
So I said, like, if I were really to come in and make a point, I can just say no, because I'm not from Hong Kong or Taiwan or
yeah,
Shanghai, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was one point I fought very hard to keep. I wanted to sort of embrace that whole group as Asian.
You had this filmmaker from an actor from India,
right,
in the film,
right,
and was he a psychologist too? Or?
Yes. He's actually introducing Maria.
And he plays the father.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Because is he actually a psychologist also?
Yeah, he was a shrink. Well, see, like he's been around for a long time, and he started off in experimental theaters. He was a doctor, so he didn't really do it because of the money. So he stayed away from Bollywood, which is like your musical, which is the commercial Indian movies.
Right, right.
So he was really making what you call art movie, or in India they call it parallel movies, parallel cinema.
Parallel, yeah.
Yeah, and then he has his theater troupes. And then his day job was he's a doctor, he's a shrink.
Oh, oh.
Yeah, so he did that for a good 20-odd years.
His name is Muga.
Dr. Mohan Nagashe.
Okay, yeah, yeah. And so he, I mean, the publicity blurb says that he was your shrink.
Right. Well, in a way, he was.
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't have time to carry on his practice, because he became the director of the Film Institute of India.
Wow.
So he's like working for the government.
Yeah.
And he's still doing his theater. He has a children theater company, and he's also doing a lot of films. He's also a crossover now. Like he came over to do Seducing Maya. He's done other more commercial kind of films also.
Were there any protests against Seducing Maya in over there?
In India?
Yeah.
I won't say protest, but there was a lot of gossip. Well, first of all, with a title like that, it's like they think that thought it was a sex film, and there was a lot of hype. So I don't think it got violent or anything like that. But it did help the screenings, because it wound up being fully sold out, and actually people stood for 2 hours to watch a film.
Huh.
And
did you go to any of the showings over there?
Yeah, I went to 4 screenings, because they started off with 1 screening, then they added 2 more, and then after the festival they added another one in another place,
yeah,
which is like a Cinematheque, that kind of setup.
So what was the reaction from the audience?
It's actually quite mixed, the reaction.
Huh.
A lot of people... well, first of all, they didn't know what they're getting into, because they thought that, like, you know, some people, mind you, nobody walked out of the film. That was interesting.
Oh, that's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people thought it was a sex film. You know, obviously it's not. It's a lot about sex, but it's not really a sex film. It's not, a graphic sex film. It's about sexual, it's about relationship.
Yeah.
So it's obviously relationship, there's sex involved. And a lot of people thought they were really let's put it this way. I think they're challenged by it, and they wound up. There was a lot of discussion at the end, and I think overall they felt that because I'm touching on all the taboos in the film, there's like homosexuality and then incest. And then generation love, an older man with a younger woman.
Yeah.
So they were thinking, like, you know, that's fine. You know, you want to talk about things like this, but these are wrong things, right?
So you should have been more moralistic in the film.
Yeah, I should have punished.
Oh, punished.
them. You know, whoever doing it, it's fine. They said, like, you can do this, but then you have to punish them. So I think that was the general comment I got back, I got out of it. And obviously there's the more intellectual, more liberal group would say, hey, this is cool, you know, this is fine, I'm glad that at least, you know, people are talking about this.
Did they think it was like Western corruption because it was in Montreal, that they were corrupt, these people, in the characters in your film were corrupted by the West?
Well, I think that's the way the festival was trying to put it, because they were worried that it would start a riot or something like that because of fire the year before. So they're trying to say, well, this is what we call a sensitive, they call it Indian films from abroad. So it's really a viewpoint from abroad. It's not about India.
Uh-huh.
Like, but Fire was actually about India. It was shot in India, about India, what happened in India, right?
Right.
But my film is really outside, and there's a few of them. Like East and East was at the same festival, and again, it's put in the same kind of categories: sensitive Indian films from abroad.
Hmm.
So I thought it was an honor, because I was sort of grew with that Indian filmmakers, you know, sort of.
We're talking with Han Ho, who's the director of Who is Albert Wu? That's going to play at the Newport Film Beach Film Festival here in Orange County in a couple of weeks. The number here is 949-824-5824, if you want to chat with him, 824-5824. Are you working on other film projects now?
Because of these two films, I've been sort of on the road, and I didn't really have much time to start other projects. But I have a couple of projects in development, and I did the only work I did. I mean, in terms of shooting last year, was a little half hour with History Channel.
Yeah, sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you hold on?
Hi, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, are you going to try to do something else then? Like.
Yeah. Well, I have a couple of feature films. I actually have two feature films in development, and then I want to do another documentary. Another music documentary.
You want to be on the air? Oh, can you call back at 5?
Okay, I'm here, sorry. Yeah, it's just one person in the studio with all these phones ringing.
This is really intimate. This is almost like survival.
It's alternative radio here. But, so are you going to... After you come here, is the film showing at other festivals?
Yes, actually, the film is going to 4 festivals back-to-back.
Wow.
Newport, and then it's going to multicultural, actually, it's billed as a cultural diverse festival in Toronto called Real World Film Festival. That's right up in Newport. And then the film has been invited to Minneapolis, St. Paul. A great festival. I was there last year with Sadie St. Maria, going back this year. And then it's going to Bermuda, which again was, I was the only Canadian filmmaker there last year. I'm not sure about this year, but
did you go swimming there at all? Or was it?
I actually went in the water, but I didn't swim. Don't forget, I'm from an island. I'm from Penang.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I'm from a tropical island. So
yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's not very... Well, it's nice. Bermuda is nicer than Penang, for sure. But but it's not. Yeah, but I did go around the island. It was very nice. And, do you have to take that?
No, it's okay. Yeah, somebody will take it. So I'd route it outside. The are you going to go back to Canada right after this? And
right
after you come and then go.
Yeah, I'll be in Toronto. I'll go back to Toronto, and then I'll be back in Montreal for a few days, and I'll be in Minneapolis. Yeah. And the funny thing is, Seducing Mario, after opening in Canada, it's still going to be at a festival. So a print of Seducing Mario is actually just going to the Torino Film Festival in Italy.
Do you get tired traveling all this?
Sometimes. But it's always exciting. Depends on the audience, I suppose, and the people. I think the traveling is a bit tiring sometimes, especially when you miss your connection and all that. But I suppose it, what makes up is really the people you meet. And as I say, you go to...
Sure.
Now I'm coming back to Newport. I don't find that... Like, I'm not coming back as a stranger. You know, now I know quite a few people. So there's a certain sense of, you know, connection, I find.
The festival opens, I think, on the Thursday or something. Yeah.
29th,
yeah. So
you'll be gone, right?
I'm in Toronto. I'm going to Canada.
we're switching places.
Asian American Studies Conference. And actually, there'll be like a lot of panels on film actually there.
Oh, okay.
And I was actually thinking of involving you and having a panel there before, but as usual, I found out about it, you know, at the deadline. I just couldn't get it together.
I suppose some of the people that's organizing the Real World Film Festival will be there, because I think they... They're actually quite high profile.
Yeah. The it's the first time actually the Asian American Studies Conference is outside the U.S.
Is that right? So
it's kind of interesting. Yeah. So it may get some, you know, local involvement and feedback and stuff.
Okay.
So it'd be cool. Yeah. And then this weekend actually there's a for the listeners too, there's a Saturday, there's a Anarchist Book Fair in San Francisco. And I'm going to go to that.
You're traveling too, right?
Yeah, I'm traveling a lot. Yeah, last few months I've been traveling. Yeah, I just came back from Vietnam, actually.
Right.
Like a month ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think a lot of people will probably, you know, because it is actually shorts sometimes. To me, for some reason, they put it as a short.
Yeah.
And put your films, schedule your film as a short. But lots of people actually, so shorts usually sell out, actually.
Yeah. As I say, a lot of times I don't know until I get there. Like Minneapolis and Paul last year, I also didn't know much about the festival. Then I really found out it was a jam. That's one of the, I think might be the oldest festival in the U.S. It's the 40th year. And they were the one sort of in Midwest that introduced a French wave in the 50s to the States.
Yeah.
So I walk into this sort of a film society and you have pictures of you know, Louis Malle and Godard and all these people who graced that hall before, you know, 20, 30 years
ago. Wow, that's amazing.
So it was quite special, I find.
Yeah. I figure with Struts, you know, if other people, you know, there's a Spike, something about Spike Lee in the same time slot, in your time slot. Yeah, this is, you know, at the 2 o'clock showing.
Right.
There's a short about Spike Lee, something about Spike Lee, some short, yeah. So.
Is that by Spike Lee or on Spike Lee?
On Spike Lee, I think. I mean, it's not by Spike Lee. From the description on their website, there's a website for this festival. I think it's Newport Film Fest. Newport Beach Film Fest.
Okay.
.com.
So it's up now.
Finally it's up, yeah.
Okay, good.
And there's you just go to the short, they're divided between features and shorts.
Right.
But
I'll be in good company.
Yeah.
So I got Mr. Lee to
So will you come on Thursday? Will you arrive earlier? Or?
I have a meeting or two. As you know, that Seducing Mario is also opening in the States soon.
Oh yeah.
So
theatrical release, huh?
Yeah. So I have a few things to take care of with my distributor in LA. Actually coming in 2 or 3 days earlier.
Oh wow.
And then I'll come down, for the festival.
So when will that open up? The Seducing Mario.
I know that they they don't have a fixed date yet. They're looking at end of April or some point in May. And we were initially thinking of opening at 4 cities in the States first, and then see how it goes, and then perhaps opening it more.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So we're still working our strategy and all that.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Well, the time is up. It's 5 o'clock. Thanks
all
for
right.
For putting up with all this.
Oh,
yeah.
Thanks. It's
and I'll
fun.
See you in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank
bye bye. That was Hunt Ho, who's the director of Seducing Maria, but also of a new film that's showing at the Newport Beach Film Festival on Tuesday, April 3rd at 2 o'clock at the Fashion Island. And for more information, you can go to the Newport Beach Film Festival site, newportbeachfilmfest.com, I believe. Or you can go to the kuci.org/tildeDTSANG and look for the listing for today, and there'll be links to all these sites. This is Subversity here on KUCI. This is Dan Tsang signing off. And next week I'll be in Toronto, so I won't be here. And also for Alternative News, I won't be here this Friday or next Friday. So Diane coming up is going to take care of it. So this is High Visibility is coming up with Diane Chapman. This is KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine signing off for Subversity. I'm